You never know how strong you are until strong is the only choice you have. Anonymous.
Empowerment in education. Two powerful elements that will help you break free of convention and transform your passion for wellness to a level beyond the status quo. The Essential Oil Revolution, where you're given the tools to supersede an ordinary everyday lifestyle. Inspiring speakers, DIY recipes, healthy living tips, and more. You'll discover it all here. So tune in and get ready for a wellness revolution.
Having children is one of the most joyous blessings in this world. Yet at the same time, like Elizabeth Stone said, it's like having your heart go walking around outside your body. Today, we are going to hear from Ryan Sternagel, whose son was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer at the age of 1. And unlike a lot of parents who react to this situation and go through the conventional route of what that journey looks like, Ryan and his wife decided to throw all the alternative options out there into their son's journey while also working with some great integrative practitioners. Today, we're going to hear all about that journey, as well as the research and the experiences that he had using essential oils as part of that journey. Now, of course, a big caveat here for this episode, we are not going to claim at all that cancer can be treated with essential oils. We are going to highlight some of the ways that essential oils can complement anyone's experience who is going through a similar journey and highlight some of the oils that Ryan's done some research on that is really exciting when it comes to the field of cancer and alternative modalities. At the end of the episode, you'll hear Ryan talk a little bit about his upcoming Anti-Cancer Revolution Summit, which is chock full of top experts in the field of anti-cancer today. So if you're looking for an even deeper dive into the topic of cancer, I highly, highly recommend you check out that summit. We'll put a link below in the show notes to make that easy for you to find. Before we get to the interview, I wanted to highlight my favorite oil this past week has been Copaiba essential oil. I've been getting in this little routine of waking up and doing a 6-minute ab workout, which has been a lot of fun and a great way for me to start my day. But my shoulders and my neck are not used to this at all. So they have been screaming at me, very upset with Sam stretching her neck in all these funky different ways. So I've been making a muscle rub out of just coconut oil and Copaiba. That's it. Keeping it really simple. And I love the way that this feels on my muscles. So give that a try and see if your muscles and your joints could use a little extra love with our good friend Copaiba this week. And let's pull a recipe out of our DIY dugout. These recipes come from you, our listeners, and we love them. Today's episode comes from Mary Dorsey in Knoxville, Tennessee. Her recipe is called the Sleepy Time Blend. To make the Sleepy Time Blend, combine 3 drops lavender with 3 drops Stress Away. That's a Young Living blend. Diffuse at night to help with sleep. That's it. So super simple recipes for you to try out this week.
Hello, dear friends. As an essential oil user, I know that you have probably come to not only appreciate, but to actually expect the powerful shift in emotions that you can get instantaneously when smelling your essential oils. When someone's dealing with the complex emotion of grief, life can get pretty heavy. Although emotions and essential oils can both be good allies, sometimes more is needed. I want to introduce you to a new podcast called A Place of Yes that is now available wherever you listen to podcasts. The host of the show is Heather Strother. Heather actually had a severe loss when she lost her 4-year-old son, Jack, suddenly to medical complications. 13 years later, now Heather is sharing the only way that she could move forward from the loss. This was by channeling her grief for the good and finding a place of yes. Now, her and her husband have created a nonprofit organization called Jack's Help from Heaven. Since then, they've helped hundreds of families with medically fragile children raise more than $1 million to help them to purchase with items that are not just medically necessary, but also convenient. Their goal is to improve the quality of life, and it offers you an opportunity to learn strategies to cope with grief and how to truly be there for someone that you love that is grieving. Now, sometimes the guests aren't just talking about the loss of a child, but the loss of a life they thought that they were going to live. And I know that we can all relate to that. Please listen to A Place of Yes now wherever you listen to podcasts. And also visit our sponsor at jackshelpfromheaven.org/news/podcast and learn about Heather and Brian's incredible nonprofit organization.
Hello, dear friends. In today's world, it's hard to maintain balance in any area of life. This includes in regard to our hormones. Let's face it, stress impacts everyone, and this affects our hormones. Compound stress on top of an already fluctuating cycle, and not so happy symptoms can result. Thankfully, we have essential oils to tame our mind and body, but a lot of times, many women need something more to keep their hormones at a healthy level. And that something more is where Happy Mammoth comes in. And right now, they are generously offering you 15% off your first order when you visit happymammoth.com and use promo code REVOLUTION. Happy Mammoth is a forward-thinking, all-natural wellness brand. They are obsessed with empowering people with quality natural health solutions aimed at promoting total body health and vitality. I love their comprehensive formula, Hormone Harmony, which contains herbal extracts that help to support hormonal levels, stress, mood, resiliency, and blood sugar. In fact, it contains adaptogenic herbs that help the body adapt to any kind of stressors. This can help to keep hormones in much better balance. Due to its synergy, Hormone Harmony formulation can be used for women in perimenopause, menopause, and any female with symptoms of hormone imbalances. What I love as a naturopathic and functional medicine doctor is that their products are third-party tested for quality and purity, free of heavy metals, and free from artificial fillers. For all these reasons, I am confident recommending Happy Mammoth to my clients and grateful to be supplied with my own bottle for a happier mood and less bloated belly during that time of the month. I am so pleased to have a company that stands behind women's health and optimizing wellness through science and education. So please support Happy Mammoth and the show. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com with promo code REVOLUTION at checkout. That's Happy MAMMOTH.com and use promo code REVOLUTION for 15% off your first order.
Well, I'm here with Ryan Sternagle, who is the founder, along with his wife Teddy, of the Stern Method, a platform informing and inspiring families going through cancer to succeed on all fronts. In May of 2014, their son, Ryder, was diagnosed with stage 4 neuroblastoma, a childhood cancer of the nervous system, just 11 days before his first birthday. Through an integrative approach, leaving nothing on the table, today, Ryder is thriving. Along with the Stern Method website and social media presence, Ryan hosts the Anti-Cancer Revolution podcast and online conference, and is the creator of Going Integrative, a step-by-step course for cancer patients, parents, and caregivers. Ryan, welcome to the show. It's such an honor to have you here with us today.
Hey, Samantha, really, really good to be with you.
Well, that's quite a story. I'm sure you hear this all the time. Every parent's nightmare to go through what you have been through with your son, Ryder. I'm so happy to hear that he's thriving today. And not only that, but you've taken that journey and you've turned it into an opportunity to pass things on, pass things forward. So not just going through what you've done for yourselves and healing your son, but turning around and helping other people go through that journey themselves and being a support for people. So just wonderful work you're doing. And I couldn't be more happy for the existence of your story because it's helping so many people. I'm curious, after Ryder was diagnosed, how long after that point did you start using a more integrative approach? Was it like right away, or did it take some time to get to that point?
We were very, you know, I don't know, a million different words come to mind, but alternative minded going into it. even when my wife was pregnant with Ryder, even before she was pregnant with Ryder, we really started, you know, cleaning up our act in terms of we had, you know, been out of college for a little while. And of course, we're just living the standard American diet slash college lifestyle.
Right.
You know, but then, you know, we got married, had nothing better to do but start watching documentaries and, you know, started to find out about getting healthy. So we were already, you know, experimenting with different diets, eating all organic food, getting rid of chemicals in the house already, you know, getting rid of EMF and not using Wi-Fi or anything like that. So we were already going down that rabbit hole. We'd seen several integrative alternative cancer documentaries, just kind of out of general interest, I guess. You know, we'd watch stuff on, you know, the Gerson therapy and the Brzezinski documentary. And so, yeah, when Ryder was diagnosed, we already had a very firm handle on the direction we wanted to take. And looking ahead, I could already foresee the fact that we were going to have trouble because of everything I knew about the way the conventional medical system is set up, particularly when it's your child. You find out pretty quickly when your kid gets diagnosed, and hopefully nobody's kid listening to this gets diagnosed, but the conventional medical system and the state don't necessarily consider your child yours when you're going through a cancer diagnosis. And especially, you know, it's not a big deal for a lot of parents that just, you know, kind of roll over and just do whatever they're told. But for parents like us that really wanted to do everything we could for our child, and knowing that everything we could do meant a heck of a lot more than everything that we were offered in the hospital, and perhaps not doing everything we were offered in the hospital.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. That led to some real, real ugly situations, and actually us moving states altogether.
Wow. Tell me more about that. Just slow down at this part of the story for a second, because this is something we have a lot of moms who listen to the show, and this is a huge fear that comes up. I've had this fear as well with my daughter, and just dealing with doctors and legitimately worrying that they're going to call protective services on my butt, you know, because I'm refusing so-and-so treatment or whatnot. So yeah, give me a little more insights into that and what you've learned and yeah, why you chose to move to a different state.
It's a topic we've kind of danced around for a long time in the earlier part of, you know, putting ourselves out there and whatnot, but we're pretty comfortable talking about it these days. Yeah. So when Ryder was diagnosed, we didn't outright refuse treatment because, again, I knew that was going to be an issue. But we did say we were going to go get a second opinion. We said, thank you for the diagnosis. We did. We stayed in the hospital. We got a biopsy. And by the way, just going back for a second, we had been fighting months, not months, but weeks and weeks and weeks, over a month, to get this diagnosis. Mm. You know, Teddy felt a lump in his back. We took him to the doctor. They said, it's nothing, go home. There's all these red flags, which, you know, I won't go into the details, but looking back on it, it's like, good Lord, you know, we were told to go home like three or four different times.
Wow.
With all these very concerning symptoms outside of a big lump on his back, you know what
right.
I mean? And it was only for our keeping trying and saying, no, that's, you know, something's clearly wrong. We need to get some imaging. We need to find out what's going on here. That all of a sudden it was discovered that, you know, he had stage 4 neuroblastoma and he had a massive spine inside of and growing out of, excuse me, he had a massive tumor inside of and growing out of his spine, secondaries that were, you know, all metastasized into his bones. This thing, if it had gone another 6 weeks, like they had told us to come back in 6 weeks, mm-hmm. I don't know if we'd be having this conversation right now. So that's a precursor to, we certainly were not like, oh, we're just going to, you know, take it easy and we don't really trust, you know, maybe everything will be, no, that wasn't us. But we did, you know, before wanting to, and then all of a sudden it was the same people that were just telling us to, you know, come back in 6 weeks. Now all of a sudden it's, you guys need to be in chemo yesterday, although we still don't even know exactly what the diagnosis is. You know, that's going to take a while.
With any, or is there any apology there of like, oh, sorry, we didn't, you know, take this more seriously?
One guy said kind of offhand that maybe he wasn't aggressive enough.
Yeah.
That was as much as we got. Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, so we said, you know, wait, back up. We're going to go get a second opinion. And, you know, we did get a biopsy. We did get a Hickman line placed because, one, we were taking it seriously. And we knew that if we did want to end up going with chemotherapy, we wanted to be able to turn on a dime and do it. And then, two, you know, we did know about all these alternative, whatever you want to call it, integrative therapies, IV vitamin C, IPT, low dose chemo, just a whole bunch of different IV infusions that we were already trying to seek out for him. So we wanted to use the line for that as well. So we got that placed. And but you know, at that point we did say we were going to go home and get a second opinion. And we had, gosh, like a train of different doctors, nurses, social workers, all trying to talk us out of it. It was really scary. We didn't know if we were going to have security waiting for us at the, waiting for us at the exit or whatever, but you know, we didn't. And yeah, we did go home. And then it was actually 2 days later that, not that night, but the next night, we woke up in the middle of the night. And I don't want to go too deep into the story because I want to talk about essential oils. But Ryder ended up having a bloodstream staph infection from getting that line placed.
Oh, wow.
So all of a sudden it was, you know, we didn't know what was going on. We just knew our son was diagnosed with cancer and now he's burning up and puking and, you know, diarrhea all over the place. And now all of a sudden it was 90 miles an hour back to the hospital.
Right.
Tried to get out of. And so at that point we were kind of trapped in the hospital and all of our plans of, you know, going to Mexico or Europe and all these different clinics we were looking at were kind of out the window. So we were on IV antibiotics, getting that cleared. And in the meantime, we did consent to a round of chemotherapy because we knew that something had to be done about this thing.
Right.
So we got that round and then went home. And then, I don't know, we kind of were in, okay, well, we got that round, but now we're going to get back to all the, you know, just trying to, you know, go full integrative or whatever. And at that point we weren't home, but my uncle was actually at the house kind of looking after some things for us while we were on our way back to a doctor's appointment with the oncologist. And it was, he called to tell us that the Child Protective Services had just stopped by looking for us.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So no, we had, and it was from when we left the hospital originally they called, and then it just took them a few weeks being the government to actually get around to, you know, showing up at the door.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, we had an active Child Protective Services case open against us for medical neglect and child abuse were what was on the table. You know, it's like, I always make the joke, like, you know, look at my bank account. When it was just going down, 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 like spending hundreds of dollars just on overnight shipping alone for all these different supplements and integrative treatments. It's like, no, there was no neglect going on and certainly no. But yeah, I was in a CPS agent's office asking questions or answering questions about how I disciplined my one-year-old and all this insane stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it just, you know, at that point we were kind of in the system and playing ball and it was like, well, how much is enough? When can we stop? And the answer kept changing. And, you know, they were always telling us it was going to be four rounds. And then at one point I thought I had to talk down to two rounds, but then we got the, no, we never said that it's going to be four rounds. And then we got to the four rounds and, oh, who said anything about four rounds? It's going to be eight rounds.
Right.
You need to start talking about radiation. And at that point when they're like, you know, they'd been saying four that whole time. And then all of a sudden it was eight, like, no, you know, this, this isn't working out. So in air quotes, I had to move for work. And, you know, we'd been calling around to different hospitals because you can't just, you know, say you're moving and that's it. You have to transfer to another mainline hospital.
Right.
There's got to be a transfer of care and all that stuff. But we just had a better feeling about, so we were in the Seattle area then. I'm talking to you from Park City, Utah right now. And, just had a better feeling about the team that we were talking to over there that didn't, you know, outright ask them if they'd let us off of chemo early or anything like that. But,
right.
You know, just, you know, anywhere's got to be better than here sort of situation. And just a lot of this journey has been just been going off a gut and our gut was telling us to go to Utah. And so that's where we went. And Ryder had made so much progress at that point. You know, his mass was a small fraction. The secondaries were gone. All the metastasis was gone. And yeah, there wasn't a whole lot of the cancer left when we did get to Utah. And his the new team there was okay with a wait and see approach.
Yeah. And up to this point to get to where you've been, was it just the chemo that had happened so far or was it chemo?
No.
Okay. Yeah, give us like the truncated cliff notes, a list of like what were you doing on top of the chemo at this point?
Yeah, I mean, so a lot of our time within, because this was only a few months after diagnosis when we moved to Utah. And a lot of that time was spent inpatient in the hospital because that infection took forever to clear. And then it turned out that you know, the infection itself was living in the line that they put in. So the minute he got off antibiotics, the infection came back. And so we had that same 90 mile an hour ride back to the hospital, happened again, like a second time.
Wow.
So yeah, we were inpatient for a lot of that time, but you know, we found a naturopathic oncologist, which I would highly encourage anyone going, especially going through conventional treatment, find a naturopathic. I mean, work with integrative people of all kinds, but naturopathic oncologists in particular, they're naturopathic doctors that specialize in cancer. They know people going through conventional treatment and what to do for them as far as different, you know, supplements to put them on, treatments to mitigate stuff, treatments to enhance efficacy of conventional treatments. That's their bread and butter. And the guy we landed on, actually, we didn't know it at the time, but he turned out to be like, I don't know, God in the naturopathic oncology world. I started going to these conferences, you know, just to learn all I could a few years later. And it turned out he was keynoting, like he was giving the keynote speeches at all these conferences.
And you're like, I know that guy.
Yeah. He was a saint of a man. When we first called in, his schedule was booked out for months. And then all of a sudden the spot opened up and it was very clear that was his personal time. And then all of a sudden he's spending all this time with us. So anyway. Wow.
Yeah. So anyway, well, you know, this story is long, I'm sure. And I'm sure you've got your whole story out there and I'll let people find that and track down the whole story with you soon. It's such an amazing one. I do want to get some essential oil conversation going as well before we run out of time. Is that okay?
Do it.
All right, let's do it. So on top of everything that you've been doing, I know that you have researched a lot of essential oils and incorporated that into some of your journey with Ryder as well. So kind of paint us a picture of what that's looked like.
Yeah, I mean, there's a few different aspects to it. In just the going through conventional treatment side of things, there are, first of all, just for anyone going through cancer, I would recommend two books, Naturopathic Oncology by Dr. Neil McKinney and The Definitive Guide to Cancer by Dr. Lise Alschuler, as far as, you know, what to take and what not to take with just about any conventional therapy out there. Those two books are gold mines and just for a ton of great anti-cancer information in general. But, you know, what I always tell people is get those two books and definitely consult with a naturopathic oncologist and all that good stuff. But, you know, outside of that, for whatever reason, two things that don't get brought up a lot when it comes to side effects and mitigating them are essential oils and homeopathy. And, you know, so I always say, you know, do everything the naturopathic oncologist says, do everything that you find in those books, but then also just, we've never been essential oils experts. You know, I never read a ton. Well, yeah, I did read quite a bit on essential oils. I'll backtrack there, but you know, it's, I've been a generalist is kind of what I'm trying to get at, but there's a whole ton, like probably no surprise to your listeners, stuff like nausea or pain or appetite stimulation or, you know, even neutropenia when you get when your white blood cell counts go down from conventional stuff. They try to put you on all sorts of different just pharmaceutical prescriptions, which, you know, you look into those and it's, you know, this one GCSF, the brand name's Neupogen or Neulasta. I found a ton of research on that particular drug aggravating existing cancer cells, existing neuroblastoma cells, like literally it will make those cancer cells more aggressive. So we didn't want that, but we did want to do everything we could to keep his counts up. So we did a whole bunch of immune boosting stuff and, you know, a whole bunch of immune boosting oils. We were doing, I don't know, all the immune boosting blends. I found some stuff on even lemon in particular, mitigating or, you know, reversing neutropenia. So we were doing that, but
on a 1 year old or, you know, 1 to 2 year old, how would you apply that?
Well, that's the $1 million question with everything we were doing, right?
We'll answer that $1 million question when we get back from a short break to thank our sponsors.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
There was no information on anything integrative cancer related. There was a bit on children, you know, just for essential oils in general. But, you know, I will say that our approach to essential oils has kind of evolved over time. Like when we were doing side effect type stuff, I was pretty, you know, I was conservative. I diluted with carrier oils and pretty conservative dilutions, like, you know, 1%, 2%, 3%. You know, we were doing diffusers and all that good stuff. But when it came to like the anti-cancer stuff, I actually was pretty aggressive. I'll just put it out there. Mm-hmm. You know, there was a tumor on his back, or, you know, inside of his back. I had a nice like kind of target lined up. And I should say, like, I'm not saying that any one particular thing is anti-cancer, because now we're kind of jumping ahead to, you know, what we were doing for healing purposes. But our philosophy, our MO throughout all of this was, like we said in the beginning, if there's an indication that something is going to be helpful and not all that harmful or not harmful at all, then why wouldn't we do it? So we were just doing everything we could, like I said.
Yeah, and kind of pausing on this topic for a second, because, you know, as far as the FDA is concerned, and we have to be careful about what we say, of course, and, you know, we, and I don't even want to pretend to claim that essential oils are going to cure cancer. Like, let's not go there for legal and ethical reasons. But, you know, when you're in this sort of situation and you are navigating your own path and you're exploring all the options out there, and you're throwing this and that at it, how do you navigate that as far as, you know, FDA? Well, I know that as a parent, you can legally, or as a consumer, you can try anything that you want to try, really.
Yeah.
As a, maybe as a teacher or an entrepreneur or a podcast host, you can't necessarily share all of that and tell someone else, hey, this, you know, try this for your cancer. It's going to work. But when you're trying to make these decisions, how do you navigate that and find good, reliable research to even know, well, what could I try?
A few different kind of ways to go about this. So one, I guess just, I will one, just finish my thought on the side effect stuff. So, I mean, we weren't, and this is, you know, I don't think the FDA would have a problem with this. We weren't experts, but it was us figuring out, okay, what is it that, what specifically are we trying to overcome and what resources are there to overcome it? And then how are we going to apply that to our child? How are we going to get our hands on it? Because sometimes it was expensive stuff. If it was like an energy medicine device or something like that. But, you know, if it was just essential oils, okay, let's get some essential oils. And how are we going to do it? So, you know, if it's nausea, let's just search out essential oils for nausea. And, you know, you find your ginger and peppermint and lemon and all this stuff. And then you do it. And those weren't the only things we were doing for nausea. You know, we were doing different supplements and castor oil packs and all this stuff. So it wasn't, we weren't just relying on essential oils for anything, but you know, you can find a lot of stuff on essential oils for just about everything. I guess that's where the, you know, I've got an oil for that tagline comes in. And so it's like, you know, why not add some essential oils to the mix? And we always got complimented by the nurses, and we had the best smelling room in the hospital all the time. So there you go. But yeah. And then as far as the FDA is concerned, or the conventional medical establishment in general is concerned, as a consumer, you're free to do whatever you want. The worst, as an adult doing things to yourself, the worst thing that's going to happen is you're going to get a ton of pushback from your oncologist. And for adults in particular, I would say, again, for someone going through cancer, there's no reason not to get along with your oncologist. And there's no reason to have an oncologist that just shuts everything down. There are so many oncologists out there that if you land on one that just, you know, sucks, and for, you know, sorry for lack of a better word,
or just makes you feel like small and like,
yeah,
you're voiceless.
Exactly. Yeah. And yeah, that's, yeah, that I could have found a better descriptive word there, but
we won't hold it against you.
That just completely shuts everything down that you're doing, and, you know, doesn't bother to explain anything to you or why he's saying no to all this stuff. Just it's time to move on. For us, again, that meant actually moving states, because there's only one hospital per state, or even per group of states, that, you know, that sees kids. But we've never made any definitive claims. That's for sure. There's a whole ton of research, like on the anti-cancer side for oils in particular. You can get on PubMed. It's a National Institute of Health website where they house pretty much all the peer-reviewed medical literature that's, you know, been published out there. And you can type in essential oils for breast cancer, essential oils for neuroblastoma, essential oils for colon cancer, and just see what studies you get. And there's a whole ton of studies. Or you can just, even better, just type in essential oils for cancer and just start scrolling around and see what you get. I guess that's where it comes in from the us putting out information side, is it's never really us just saying this is going to do this. It's saying, we're saying this is why we've chosen this for our son. And the why is always either a doctor of some kind, be it a functional medical doctor, an integrative medical doctor, or a naturopathic doctor, a naturopathic oncologist has recommended it, or we found a whole ton of scientific literature on it, or we found a whole ton of case studies on it, or some combination of all those things. So with essential oils in particular, it's our usage of them for anti-cancer purposes has not been because we found some blog article on it. Although some, blog articles can be informative on that, but that's always supplemented with, okay, let's go see what the research has. And again, it's not just doing one thing. It's not saying this is going to cure your cancer. It's saying, hey, this has been shown to have some anti-cancer activity, and so has, a whole ton of other things. And why wouldn't we do everything we possibly could that has been shown to have anti-cancer activity, especially when, the side effects are better health with a lot of these things. So it's like, why not? So that's been kind of our anti-cancer way of looking at things as far as essential oils are concerned in particular. And then I think we might be running short on time, but do you want me to kind of run through?
Yeah, I'd say run through sort of what you're kind of doing today. Ryan's thriving, you guys are doing well, and you're doing tons of things, I'm sure. But what are you doing specifically with essential oils today just to sort of help your family maintain that level of health?
Yeah, so what we're doing today, it kind of consists of what we were doing back then as well, just kind of at a more scaled down version. But I've had more and more time to just think about things and refine things and methodize things. And that's actually where the brand name, the Stern Method, comes in, because we make routines out of everything, we make schedules out of everything to make sure that we're packing everything in. But as far as essential oils goes, I've just gone through the literature and taken all the research I can find on anti-cancer activity of essential oils. And then I just make sure to have a good rotation going. I've kind of broken it out just for lack of a better, it's just, I don't know. This is just how my kind of mind worked on it. But I found essential oils with anti-cancer activity in the citrus family, particularly in this. I would make this note for anyone going through cancer. D-limonene, there's a whole ton of, for lack of a better term, anti-cancer research on it. That's the prevalent compound found in citrus essential oils. And citrus essential oils are super cheap compared to your frankincense and myrrhs,
right,
and sandalwoods and all that. And that's, where all the hype is around the, I have those in my biblical category. I was told at one point that one of the big two essential oil companies just put a whole ton of, they just sponsored a whole ton of studies on frankincense. And so now, what do you know? There's more studies on frankincense than anything else. But if somebody's looking to do, get a lot of bang for their buck in the anti-cancer department, citrus is definitely where it's at. So, grapefruit actually has the highest D-limonene content, orange, tangerine, also super high. And you can kind of go down the list from there. But, I break it out between citrus, wood, herbal, biblical, even though biblical is part of wood, I don't know. That's that kind of mental thing where I still want to break it out. Spice, and then seed. And then I just make sure, and then all the essential oils with anti-cancer activity, I make sure to, I at least have one of those in my rotation at any given time. And we're just kind of, making sure that Ryder gets some of those things from each category. We're just kind of rotating through the list. And, that's so we wake up in the morning, we do our little essential oil routine. I get some carrier oil in my hand, dump one of those from each category into the carrier oil, kind of rub it all over them, particularly where the mass, he's still got a little mass there. It hasn't done anything in a few years. But, he gets rubbed down in that. And then we go upstairs and do a bunch of energy medicine. And I figure there's got to be some, you hear about frequencies and essential oils and high vibrations and all that stuff. So why not do that right before we hit him with a bunch of, good vibe and energy medicine, that sort of thing. And we've got this little light therapy device that shines right where I put the oils. And So hopefully we're getting some resonance there. But same thing with the sauna. We actually do essential oils right after the sauna. We've got a big infrared sauna is what we have. And so, you know, we've got our whole sauna routine, but the end of that routine, or not the end of it, but somewhere around the end of it, consists of right after we get out of the sauna. That's when his pores are nice and wide open. So I figure he just sweated out a bunch of toxins. Let's put in some good, you know, essential oils there. And so, you know, same thing. We're using the same kind of category breakout that I do there. Definitely, you know, we definitely use them for just, you know, all the purposes that you talk about as well, as far as, you know, relaxing in the evening, that sort of thing. But I don't know, detox baths, that's another one, like, you know, Epsom salt, sea salt, baking soda. That's a great detoxification bath. We're using those a ton around conventional treatment. You know, it's just kind of in the detoxifying lifestyle rotation category now. And we'll be sure to throw some essential oils into that as well, because again, why not? I'll throw some into his castor oil pack here and there, because that's, you get castor oil, you put that on a cloth, and then you heat that cloth up, and all that castor oil is going directly into, you know, into the lymphatic system, stuff like that. And so it's, yeah, why not throw some oils into that as well? And I would say those are actually kind of our four ways. And then, you know, again, we're just, I'm sure to rotate through those categories and the diffuser as well. But between the sauna, energy medicine, bath soak, and castor oil.
Yeah. Yeah. So essential oils have become like a huge part of just sort of your daily maintenance, oily protocol, along with all these other things. So I love it. Thank you for sharing so much detail there. And that's going to be really helpful for so many people. So I know there's so much knowledge around the journey that you've gone through. And I wanted to have you on the show now because I know you have a summit coming up soon that, you know, anyone who is struggling with cancer diagnosis or knows anyone with a cancer diagnosis, which it, you probably know the statistic better than me, but it's going to be what, 1 in 2 or 1 in 3 people in the next, you know, by 2050 are going to be diagnosed with cancer. What is that statistic?
Well, it's right now.
Yeah.
In their lifetime, just about 1 in 2 women, and excuse me, just about 1 in 2 men and just about 1 in 3 women will be diagnosed with cancer. And those rates are just going up. 2020 was actually the year, I think it'll take a few years looking back on it, but this has been predicted to be the year when cancer overtakes heart disease. Wow. as the number one killer in the US. So yeah, it's a big deal. And thank you for mentioning the event. I actually forgot. That's, you know, part of the reason I was here today and probably would have just got off without without remembering to mention it. So thanks. But yeah, you know, like a couple of years ago, my day job went away unexpectedly, and we decided to take our mission in terms of putting everything we were doing out. And we didn't really talk about that aspect of it, but we put everything we were doing out for Ryder, and it grew into a following and then a website and a YouTube channel, podcast, all that stuff. And a couple of years ago, yeah, my day job went away, and we decided to, you know, it was a sign from the big guy to go full time and everything we were doing. So that's when the online event started. And so yeah, we've had a few good ones. The Toxic Home Transformation was all on environmental toxicity. Anti-Cancer Revolution 1 was our first cancer event, and the Anti-Cancer Revolution 2, evidence-based medicine, is probably the single most thing that I am proud of that, you know, I've done online to date. I mean, long story short, I've been feeling for a long time there's a really big need for better information around cancer in particular in the online space. And it's, you know, when I go to these conferences, these, you know, Oncology Association and Naturopathic Physicians Conference or Society for Integrative Oncology Conference, and I see these like detailed PowerPoint presentations with references on every slides, with references on every slide. And it's like, oh man, you know, I wish the public could see this, like the, you know, kind of the more professional side of talking about, you know, essential oils or, you know, whatever the case may be, all this stuff that the public kind of considers woo-woo, but less and less of the public, thankfully, these days. But yeah, that's kind of what I've recreated. It's not just, you know, it's not just a bunch of health personalities kind of giving interviews around a general topic, which you see a lot in the summit world these days. It's like, this guy is actually more known for autoimmune stuff, but let's have him on the summit anyway, just because. No, these are actually people that mostly you'll never see online because they're just given the keynote presentations at these medical conferences. But somehow I wrangled them into giving these same kind of detailed PowerPoint presentations on this event. So yeah, I'm really excited for it. I think it's setting a new bar in terms of, you know, good information online pertaining to cancer. So we're really excited for it.
I'm so excited. It's just like what you just said gave me chills, you know, just setting a new bar for information that's easily acceptable to the everyday public around this topic. There's not enough of it. You're right. So thank you for what you're doing. You know, we always hate when tragedy strikes and especially when bad things happen to good people, but to see you take that struggle in that battle and turn it into this revolution that's helping so many people is just beyond inspiring. And it makes me so grateful for the work that you're doing. And the last kind of takeaway I want to put out there for people listening is the thread that I hear through this whole journey of yours is to fight. You have to fight. When you're going through a medical journey or a child is going through a medical journey, you have to, what I say, take that health into your own hands. Be the one responsible for this journey and fight for what your gut is telling you is the right thing to do. And I've heard that a lot in what you've said today.
Yeah. No, I mean, you said it best. And I would say in today's climate, I think everyone is kind of on their own medical journey, whether they right. realize it or not. And stick with your gut, everybody. And especially with childhood cancer, it's really easy to just roll over to the system and just, you know, let whatever the doctor in the white coat says happen, you know, needs to happen. But yeah, I don't want to get too, I don't know.
Yeah, I can talk about that
whatever,
all day.
But stick with your gut.
Yeah.
Stick with your gut and follow it. And you will be happy with yourself in the end for having done whatever you need to do what you feel is the right thing.
Yeah. Yep. Absolutely. Well, I know we dropped a lot of resources and tips in today's interview, and we'll do our best to put anything we mentioned in the show notes below, including those two books that you mentioned. We'll put that in the show notes, and then definitely links to the upcoming summit that I'm personally really excited to go watch myself. So we'll make that real easy for everyone to find. And if you aren't sure how to find that, go to our website, revolutionoilspodcast.com. All the notes will be there. Ryan, thank you again so much for joining us today. We really appreciate you and everything you're doing.
Oh, right back at you, Samantha. Thanks for this show. I'm going to start listening myself because, I want to learn more about essential oils from a just how do you use them in your everyday life standpoint.
All right, Ryan. Thanks so much. You take care.
Yep. Have a good one.
Thanks so much for tuning in, everyone. I hope to see you on the Anti-Cancer Revolution Summit. I'm excited to learn from these top experts myself. In the meantime, we'll catch you here next week. Keep on learning, keep on discovering, and most importantly, keep on treating yourself well. You are worth it.